this most American of holidays, that is the music by the most American of composers, Charles Ives. Believe it or not, it is the title track from Mists. Charles Ives for Jazz Orchestra, arranged by our good friend Jack Cooper, who, of course, is director of jazz studies at the University of Memphis. It's just out, and Jack made a Facebook post last night, and I said, hey, you know, let's talk about this, because otherwise we're not going to have another chance until late November. So thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Daryl. Thanks for asking me. I sure appreciate it.
This is kind of an amazing thing. This is a project that you've been working on for like 12 years now.
Yeah.
Give us the genesis of this.
Well, as I had told you earlier, the thing had started as a dissertation, the first three pieces, back in about 1997. So kind of a study in how you take a disparate material and, you know, different than Gershwin or Arlen or something like that, and try and make big band charts out of it, big orchestrations. Finally, I was asked to do a whole album of these about 2002. First round of it kind of fell through, and then this label, Planet Arts, picked it up, and we've been trying to do copyright problems and other things, as you know, is tough, and funding. Yeah, it's a nightmare. And finally, you know, fast forward, and here we are. We were able to get this thing done. We recorded it in April in New York, and the list of people that are playing it's amazing. So we got it done. But that's the nutshell version.
Yeah, yeah. You got some great fun people who helped you out there. And Copeland Foundation contributed a large amount of money to it initially. You got some other folks who contributed. You actually did a little bit of work in social media. You had an Indiegogo campaign.
Yeah, and it went real well. But it, you know, to anybody who wants advice about fundraising, it's hard work, and you really got to set it up. And it was the first time I'd ever done it, and maybe the last time. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
it's hard work, Daryl.
Yeah,
but it went well, and a lot of people understood how important the project it is because it is. It's already getting some international press, and you know, it's going to be up for some awards in terms of Grammys and Pulitzer and stuff like that. So it's pretty important.
There are eight pieces on here, all arranged from Charles Ives' original pieces for orchestra, which are complicated pieces of music. I don't have to tell anyone that who knows anything at all about Ives. You managed to get this recording done in a day.
Yeah, it hinged greatly on the personnel. On the personnel in the studio, and that matters a whole lot, because you got to have people ready to go. I mean, one of the stories I have to tell about this is every time at Systems 2, I turned to the booth and said, I'm ready to go. Mike had his finger on the button. So that's the kind of person that was there. Yeah. Mike was ready to go, and he was there for you. So, you know, those are the kind of people that were ready to go, and the players were always ready to go when I was ready to give a downbeat and move on. So, you know, that's what you get.
That's important. We're talking about Mists, Charles Ives for Jazz Orchestra, arranged by Jack Cooper. It is now out on CD. And let's back this up a little bit. Where does your interest in Ives come from?
Oh, boy. That goes back to my mom. My mom was a very good pianist, accompanist. My godfather was one of the tenor baritone soloists with the William Hall Chorale in California. And I heard him growing up. The first Ives I heard was in the womb, I guess, so to speak. Because my mom and Bob, my godfather Bob, had recorded an LP about 5 months after I was born, and four of the things on the master tapes are Ives, you know, like The Greatest Man and Charlie Rutledge, the cowboy song. So I was hearing rehearsals while I was not even around, you know. So and as little kids, me and my brother and my sisters, we all heard this stuff all the time, because my mom had people all over all the time rehearsing with them on the pianos at home. So Ives was normal in our household, live, you know, it being played live. So that's where that comes from. And so Ives was kind of in my blood for a long, long time before this even hit, you know.
Yeah.
And playing band music because playing clarinet and orchestras and stuff like that. So
yeah, Ives is an interesting character. He's not really... he doesn't really have any contemporaries to speak of. I mean, he was
that's
very
a good way to put it.
He was extremely iconoclastic.
Yeah. Well, You know, it's kind of a funny thing because a lot's been written on Ives. Certainly, I've written read a lot on Ives. And at the same time, Ives was doing his thing, the Viennese Three. The second Viennese Three were creating atonality and experimenting, but from a really different standpoint.
Yeah, yeah.
So, nobody in America was doing what Ives was doing.
Right, exactly.
I mean, he really sits on his own. So, it shows the genius of the man, and that's why I'm so fascinated with him, because there's so many Americana, and this is the other thing, Daryl, is that there are so many American elements to his music.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what I was trying to find when I was trying to find, you know, I mentioned to you Samuel Barber or Copeland. You listen to Ives, and there's a little bit of jazz, and there's blues, and there's folk, and there's hymns, and there's all this stuff tied into Ives that's just, it's gorgeous. Amazing kind of throw together big pot of stuff that he has in his music. So that's a good way to put it. He sits by himself because of this mishmash of things in his music.
I always like to play Ives and play spot the influence.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Spot the theme from something else.
Exactly, and that was his. You know, the word is borrowing. You
right.
Know, of course.
Sure.
It's his borrowing thing that he did so many times. So, it's an incredible musician. You know.
What was it like to take these pieces, in some cases pieces for vocal and piano, and in some cases pieces for other instruments, and put them together for a big band?
Wow, that's a really good question. You know, in one of the promotional things I talk about, and this is so relative for me to say this, but I talk about creating good jazz. I with all the background I have in terms of hearing arrangers like Don Sobeski and Bill Holman and Quincy Jones, it's a tough thing because some of the tunes needed more work than others. For instance, you were playing Children's Hour.
Right, right.
I went almost verbatim as to I kind of heard immediately what that needed, and it didn't need it a whole ton of stuff. But you go over to Tom Sales Away, and I had to recreate a whole new form. Still, you can tell it's Tom Sales Away, but I had to spread the whole thing out. All the little vignettes, all the little stories in Tom Sales Away, I had to create a huge sonata form. So it depends. The Cage is different from those two, is that the Cage transforms itself into a big 24-bar minor blues, so the guys could blow chord changes over
right,
it, could
right.
play jazz over it. So each one had to have special care, you know, in terms of what it was dealing with. You know, when I first heard the tunes, like I told you, I had 160 of the tunes.
Right.
And I'm going through every one of them, looking at the thing and messing with them at the piano. And some just didn't work as well as others.
Right.
So, you know, it's like any composer. You could go through Ellington, or you could go through Cole Porter, and you could go through a list of tunes and say, well, I really don't want to do that one, but I really like that one. And it's the same with Ives. So some things were the same as every other composer, but there are other things that are a little different, because you're going to have to add and adapt it as best as possible to make things happen. You know, the biggest thing is the chord changes, and having guys have good chord changes so they can blow solos over.
Right.
And that's a very tough.
Complicated. Yeah.
It's complicated. And I've been doing it for years, so I was able to take on the task, but it's not an easy task, and I had to kind of make one set of chord changes, come back, kind of sleep on it, and come back and say, no, that's got to be altered to this, and then do it like a third and fourth time. So that may be the hardest thing to do, is to come up with chord changes so guys can blow over them.
Sure.
And they sound good, and they make sense for the guys.
Yeah.
You know, especially with world-class players like that, that come in and can sight read changes and blow solos at that level one time down.
Yeah.
So obviously it made sense to them.
clearly it worked. Let's hear a little more.
Thank you.
course, is the traditional hymn, Shall We Gather at the River, in Charles Ives' version, arranged for jazz orchestra by Jack Cooper from the new CD Mists. Jack is here with me today. This is a great example of what we were talking about earlier,
sure.
That obviously Ives borrowing the hymn,
yeah.
Changing it up, giving his, as you said, his unique substitution chord changes underneath it, but in a way that you guys could solo on top of it.
Yeah, I mean, it has very American standard-ish kinds of things that are happening. It's the gentleman's name is Lowell Mason, the early Bostonian choir director.
Mm-hmm,
it's
mm-hmm.
his tune. And very American, the way it is. And then Ives picks it up because Ives is a church organist.
Right, right.
And he's playing this thing all the time at his church there in Connecticut. And, he hears the thing in a different way with different chords. And, he's a pre-jazz guy.
Right, right.
He does what we do later, but he's already doing it. You know, he's messing around with the chords and putting... Well, and what it was, I mean, I sound kind of blithe by saying that, but the thing is what you're doing is you're putting the melody in a different setting.
Mm-hmm.
You're
mm-hmm.
putting different colors on it, under it,
yeah.
around
yeah.
it, by reharmonizing it. And Ives did that a lot.
Yes.
And it's just gorgeous what he does with At the River, with Shall We Gather at the River. And I picked up on it immediately hearing that one. It was like, oh, this is a no-brainer, this one.
Yeah.
You know, and Watchmen is the other hymn
right,
off
right.
of there. That's just a no-brainer. You hear it, and he takes Watchmen, and it's Watchmen's all in major.
Right.
Well, he takes the first half and puts it in minor and then goes to major in the second half. So, I mean... Who would have thought? But Ives does it, and that was a no-brainer. Listening to that one, it's like, oh, well, this works. Immediately,
mm-hmm.
I can
mm-hmm.
hear a big band doing this.
Sure.
So, in a way, those are almost the easiest ones to do because, you know, he was doing exactly what we do as jazz arrangers, you know. So.
Well, it's a fascinating CD. I'm very excited that it is now out. Mists, Charles Ives for Jazz Orchestra, arranged by Jack Cooper. You can find it, I think it's on iTunes.
It's on iTunes. It's on Amazon. It's on Tower Records. It's on eMusic. We prefer if you go to planetarts.org and get it from them because we still have stuff like CD release party in New York and here in Los Angeles
right, right.
that we need to fund. And that 501c3 of the label will go directly to the funding. If you buy it on Amazon, then, of course, a lot of it goes to the retailer. But,
right, right.
But planetarts.org
okay.
is, and it's right on the front page.
Yeah.
And you can purchase it right there from the label.
Okay. It's fascinating recording, and I'm glad that we had this time to talk about it. Jack Cooper,
oh,
my
yeah.
guest today. It's good to see you. Thanks so much.
Good to see you, too, Darrell. Thank you so much.